Blog Talk Radio.
What up? Good morning, fam. What's the word? Back on American soil, and the show must go on. If you hear the noise in the background, that's because I'm live at the Capitol Jazz Fest. Now, normally, this is the weekend that I take. Well, actually, that's not true. Normally, it's not even this weekend. COVID changed a lot of things around, so that, too, got adjusted. And it's this weekend versus the first full weekend in June. Again, that's normally a weekend we take off because it's just too hectic. But again, with me just getting back, I didn't want to pass up the opportunity to spread some love. So here we are, and this is what we do. I was paid a huge compliment just last week when I touched back down. I was talking to Sister Rashi, and she says to me, she says, Lee, the show was fire last week and what have you, but there's an energy that you bring that was missing, and I miss that energy. So here we are. This is what we do. Welcome. We are in the downturn of the summer, about to go into our so-called fall. Hopefully it won't be too long of a stint. Well, actually, that's not true. I would like fall to stay a little longer because I'm getting tired of that damn cold old man winter. But I'm digging this nice transition between the seasons. Not too hot, not too cold. Unfortunately, we got beat down with rain in Louisiana and Mississippi along the Gulf Coast down there. And, you know, praise up to the family down there. I've been talking to all my folks. Hopefully you've talked to yours. Everybody who turned out nice and safe and stuff. And, you know, electricity's coming back on and services are coming back on. So, you know, kudos to the Army Corps of Engineers for doing their job because this hurricane was the same strength as Katrina. However, it did not have the same devastation as Katrina. So that's what's up. Very much appreciative of that. But again, you know, I talked to my folks and everybody that I know and was concerned about have been able to get out. And they actually got out quickly and didn't stick around at all. You know, Mother Nature ain't to be played with. So lessons were learned, and they definitely took heed. Good morning, Sister Rashi. How are you, sis? What's happening?
I am well. I'm here on my third cup of coffee.
And so I'll probably be asleep again when we right after we talk again next week. I've been trying to stay away from it, but I couldn't stay away. Between the rain and the cool, it was the only way for me to make it to the show on time was to start with coffee.
Or else, Lord,
it's so cool and it's dim outside and it's rainy. And if I had a Victor, me and him would be curled up in the bed watching Netflix. This is perfect Victor weather.
The Victor.
I don't call them that. They call themselves that over time. So this is actually one of those days in KC where it is barely any traffic. Like somebody sent out a memo and told everybody just to sit there and shut up for a little while.
It's
so it's a glorious day here in Kansas City. And so, you know, I'm just trying to be a happy, grateful, clans of shitty misery, you know?
I feel you. Well, it's even a better day in Vegas because just 3 days ago, 3 days removed from the anniversary of the 60th celestial passing of Rodney Smith. And, you know, that is a beautiful day. September the 1st was. He told me I was the first person to hit him up from the East Coast side. He said some people were hitting him up earlier than his birthday. So I was the actual first person to hit him up on his birthday. I was very happy about that. You know what I'm saying? What's going on, Brother Rodney? How you doing, family?
You, brother, and thank you for that. How you doing, Sister Rossi? It is a beautiful day indeed because I did see 60 rotations, and
right.
I never thought I'd see past 34.
Let me tell you, 60, a black man 60 is everybody else is 147, brother. So happy 147th birthday. I mean, just to live to see.
Now, is that
like, technically, not because you've lived older than Michael Jackson. You've lived longer than Prince. I mean, the money won't even save you. You hear me? Only a steadfast agreement with yourself. I'm going to do what it takes to make these long years. I'm going to have to stop eating that, start eating this, stop driving, you know, whatever it is. It has to be a decision or else the money won't get you 60. Your genetics won't necessarily get you 60. It's something in this country to make it that far. And so now I'm so impressed, especially as a black, when black men hit to where they can actually get their money back that they paid into this nation, I get so excited, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know, Sister Rossi, being in service for so long, they used to call us lifers. And it wasn't just the amount of time that we spent in service, but they said the lifers only lived about 5 years once they finally retired. And I, as a matter of fact, as of September 1st, I retired in 2007. Well, obviously,
you beat
that's
that.
More than 10 years. Yes, so
right, you beat
I
that.
Don't know what tomorrow may bring, but I beat that one too.
Okay.
And you know why I think yours is a particularly phenomenal case is because you haven't had, you know, the crystal. You have actually hurt your body. Your body has been, you know, incapacitated, and you fought that all the way back to health. Like, to be 60, to be a veteran at 60, to be a black man at 60, to be a recovering person at 60, to be, you have a lot. So it's not no.
Oh.
It's a proper.
Be careful when you say recovery. Be careful when you say recovery without some words, some verbiage around that. You know, people, he ain't on that stuff, y'all. He ain't on that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Remember, it's a wounded warrior right there. It's a Purple War veteran. Purple War
exactly.
Awardee.
You have a Purple Heart. You know, they'd be giving them Purple Hearts posthumously.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But to have
exactly.
Wearing it on your chest every day. So I just think it's phenomenal to be able to age, you know, gracefully. And then here's the thing. There is nothing you can't do with your time and body. Like, your time is yours. Your body is yours. Your money is yours. There's nothing really pressing on you where, like, nobody, you don't have to clock in on Monday. There's a 60-year-old man, and he has to clock in or the people going to take his house, you know? So to be not just 60, but 60 in health and quality of life, it's indifferent. It's just a different that so few of us get to see. By 60, most of us are limping. By 60, people limping, hunched over something. They rolling in them scooters at that point. What I'm saying? They're spending a third of their income on restorative medicine, something to stop their pressure from hitting the ceiling or their feet from looking. You know, it's always something. But to have that 60 and not be beholden to some, you know, doctor somewhere keeping you to where you can make it to 61, it's impressive, especially in America where the plate size is twice that of every other nation, you know.
You know, Sister Ross, it's interesting you mentioned that because I have reduced my physical plate size in my house. I do not have those big plates. My plate is probably a third physically smaller than our traditional plate.
You hear me? Behavior that you have to engage in if you want those years. I go to the gym every morning, Brother Rodney. I don't do a whole bunch of working out. I do calisthenics in the sauna, but the point is, I see a 60-year-old me, and she's not, dressed head to toe in spandex so that she can fit into a chair, you know?
Righty then.
So I was saying the plate size and the change in lifestyle to live in America is real, and, you know, that's something I picked up on when I was abroad, even before this most recent time, but in this recent time as well, you know, the way that folks move is more prevalent outside of this country than it is in the country, you know, and I mean just moving, because, you know, we are very quick to just drive to anything and everything. You know, we drive to get fast food. Think about that. You drive quickly to get fast food, cook quickly, to go home, to wolf it down, and then you sit on your ass for the rest of the day. That just, in no way is that good for your person. And Rodney, you know, with respect to your plate size, not only is it smaller, but you chew it like a million times before you daggone swallow it. So you getting all them nutrients and whatever the hell you eat. Cheese and bread. I did eat three times, and Rodney's still on his first daggone piece. I'm like, damn, dog. He's like, man, look, one of the first things I did when I got out of service was retrain myself how to eat. I said, okay, I feel you. Well, I'm still in that mindset of that food can be gone in 5 minutes. So I'll whoop this down and let's get ready to go. But it's cool, man. You know, definitely looking forward to the next major milestone, 75, and we'll see where we at that point. You know what I'm saying? But, heck, man, it's Continue to drive, brother. Continue to drive.
Right on. Well, I appreciate both of you recognizing that. And, you know, I did want to share another historical fact for today as we recognize the 240th founding of America's second largest city. 40 years ago, 44 people left Mexico to go to L.A. and founded L.A. And why that's germane to us talking here, besides just the fact that 240 years ago, America's second largest city was founded, is that of those 44 people, the majority of them were either 100% African or some hybrid African mix with Mexicans and Native Americans. And there was even a mixture of Spaniard blood. So 240 years ago, black people from Mexico founded America's second largest city, Los Angeles.
And well, you know, California is named after the women of the, I believe it's the Khalifa tribe. That's where the name California came from. So that's another nugget, just in case you didn't know that, folks. It's we everywhere, people. It really is all us. So the questions that I've been getting since I've been back, where are all the pictures? Y'all ain't getting them. I decided against sharing all the pictures. I have. So I will share them privately, but I decided against sharing them all publicly. Reason number one, I took too many damn pictures, and it would take me forever to comb through them to really narrow it down just to put something simple, quote-unquote, together. Reason number two, my sister-in-law told me something, and it really hit this trip. You know, present company excluded. There are a lot of folks around who always ask for stuff but never want to do stuff. You know what I mean? They always want to see what you got or know what you got, but they don't want to do shit for themselves. And she was like, yo, I got tired of people living vicariously through me and my pictures, so I decided not to post them anymore. And I'm like, yo, you know what? I'm feeling that. I am feeling that. You know, even the pictures may be lovely, they may be beautiful, but you'll never truly get the real context unless you were there. Rodney, I loved your question when you asked me about the photo that I did post. You were like, yo, what were you thinking in that moment? You know, I thought that was a pretty profound and question, you know what I'm saying? And my response, hopefully, was fulfilling of your inquiry, not only because I responded, but to give you a sense of what I really was thinking in that moment. You know, there's moments on this trip that move me beyond any measure that I thought I was going to be moved, you know. But then there were things that happened that I handled a hell of a lot better than I thought I was going to handle. You know, when I went to the slave dungeons, I thought I was going to totally break down. That didn't happen. I got emotional. I started, you know, going through the motions, but no tears fell. Yeah, they were close, but they didn't fall. And a good portion of that, I believe, is because I've done so much study on the situation that I walked into it with a strong sense of me already being there through the books and things that I've read. So the actualization was extremely powerful, yes, but it was the completion of the circle, not the beginning to the alpha to the omega. So, yeah. Is that too loud? All right, cool. I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm broadcasting live from the Capitol Jazz Fest, so I apologize if it's too loud in the background. But, me hitting the streets and seeing the conditions that the folks of Ghana were living in outside of Accra, because if you go to Accra and you just get stuck in Accra, you pretty much think you in Jersey if you've ever been to Jersey. You know, and if you've ever been to Jersey, you explain that concept. Jersey, like Louisiana, are two of the armpits of the nation. You know what I'm saying? It just is what it is. And outside of Accra, it's like, yeah, this is a shithole. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's livable, but damn, you know, it's not taking a step back. It's taking a leap, a fall, and some more stuff back, you know. Again, because of the anonymities that we're used to, you know. You can get used to anything. Rodney, you know that. I know that. Sister Rashi, you know that. You know, we're black people in America. We adjust to any and every condition. But dang,
because I mean, some
things
America
you just don't
like
want
that.
To adjust. Right, some things you just don't want to adjust to. You know, some things you truly feel in your heart and hearts, and you should feel in your heart and hearts that you deserve to not live without. You know, you've overcome that. You've been there, done that. You know, I was saying to myself that about a career choice that I made. You know what I'm saying? I was like, you know, I made the choice because it really does fit my life. But in making the choice and living out the choice, at least for the now, I'm like, yeah, I could have stayed where I was. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, it was an awesome trip. I will never fly that way again. I will only take direct flights because that shit was ridiculous. But it was well worth the money. I'm very appreciative to the family for allowing me to stay with them. Not only did it save me in lodging expense, food expense, so on and so forth, it allowed me to really be with Native people day in and day out. And that experience is priceless. It truly is priceless. You know, I was telling Rodney, I think after the show last week, I was like, dog, we just slaughtered a goat. And he started laughing because I'd never seen anything like that. And he was telling me how I could never have survived with him on the farm when he was coming up. And I was like, yeah, you're right, dog. Because, you know, if you want to slaughter a goat, you go to Piggly Wiggly to get that. You know, you go to Giant or Food Lion or Kroger or Albertsons or, you know, name it, you know, Publix or, you know, whatever you got where you are, that's where the hell you go to get that. You don't just go out in the yard with a damn machete and slice the damn goat's neck. Like, who does that? You know what I'm saying? But I taught people to do that. And then they sat for the, well, that sat, but they worked the rest of the day to prepare that meal for dinner. It really was pretty much an entire day's work. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sitting back and I'm observing them and their behaviors and stuff. And I'm like, yo, what the hell do you all do? And then I see something like that. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? From the time you slaughtered the goat, then you got to burn the hair off and then you got to cut it all up and, you know, disembowel it and clean that out and do this and do that. Hell, that's all damn day, dog. That's all day. So, yeah.
And I
didn't think it
was. The only thing, I think the only thing they might throw out is the bone. The pelt can be used. The bone can be used. All the meat is edible, you know. But the idea is that when you kill, you have to be ready to deal with all that is left after you have slaughtered, right? And our removed state from meat has not helped us at all. At all. We have to be ready to kill what we want to eat. And if we're not, you know, then in the future, when we get tired of eating food that keeps getting recalled for listeria and E. coli, when we get tired of them finding fingernails, eyelashes, and stuff, and hairpins in our meat, when we get tired of eating whatever that red dye they pour on it so it can stop looking brown, because by the end of the day it's brown, they just keep spraying that red stuff on it to make us feel like we got fresh meat. When we get tired, we will go to getting our own chickens, getting our own goat, and at the very least buying into a farm co-op where they tend the livestock. We pay every month for that, and we can order our meat accordingly from a fresh co-op farm and not no agriculture, agribusiness where they have them all pinned in there and they pop them in the head with that air gun. And shuffle them nuggets down to you real quick. It's not right.
So, speaking of popping stuff in the head with a nail gun, and what do you think about the Supreme Court's decision to not make a decision with respect to the right to work clause, or right to choose clause, I should say? Women's right to choose.
You talking about what they're doing down in Texas? Because they didn't already chose in Texas, right?
Right.
Well, what they told me in my economy class back in the day was that this is a dying nation. It's older than it is young. Our last youth burst was right after World War II.
and all them people is 60 and something years old. You know what I'm saying? And they had got real high in the 60s. So they're not doing so well, you know?
I resemble that remark.
Like Rodney, you know what I'm saying? That's the World War II scenario. Yeah. They came about, they make kids, hey, there's Rodney.
So as
you
this nation dies, they have to make a decision. We're going to either have to make it illegal to kill an American baby, or we're going to have to do a strong pro-family campaign, something. But American women are not, they doing like Japanese women now. They want to go to work. They are not sitting at home. They're not going to college to find them a man, okay? They're going
right.
to college to get multiple degrees. They're hitting the workforce with man like with a man, male-like thrust, right? And they are not interested in being paid 68 cents or 78 cents, okay, to the man's dollar. The
mm-hmm.
nature of women has changed, and we don't want to sit there and be breeders. So the nation itself is dying, y'all, and if we keep eliminating the tomorrow, if we keep killing off the babies for whatever reason, even if they special needs babies, what we get is a youth gap, like a missing youth gap. And what they're trying
mm-hmm.
to tell us is so many dead American babies that is having an effect on the GDP.
Well, Raja, you want to have any more children?
I'm spayed and neutered.
Okay. If you say so. Okay. But yeah, man.
My tubes are tied, and I have an IUD. And if that didn't work, I haven't had sex in almost 10 years. If something fall out of me, y'all all better bow down. And I mean it immediately.
Mm-mm. Wow. You just threaten us like that over? Just threaten us like that? At least we can't say we didn't know. Rodney, what's going on? Well, actually, that's not true. Let me stick with Rashi. Rashi, what's going on with the Delta variant out there in Kansas City?
Well, I'm going to tell you from a more, I'd have talked about it personally. I work at a school with about 30 teachers, and I'm the substitute, right? Well, I have had to substitute for 6 teachers this week. 3 of them left without saying what was going down. It was only afterwards we found out what was going down. 2 more teachers since Thursday are out. So I have taught for this week 5 different teachers. And they won't say what, right? And they don't have to. That's what HIPAA says. They don't have to say what. But here's my issue. Nobody has come into the classrooms that I teach in since that instructor has been there and sprayed any damn thing. Okay? So while they are cognizant that there is something going on, my city still, you know, at least my district is still unable or unwilling to do what it takes for those preventative measures so that, so it doesn't commute to the next person. They just think that sending that person home is enough. But if you send someone into that environment, that makes them as susceptible as well to whatever had went down, right? And so what has happened is we've got quite a few teachers who decided they're going to just take their vacation for a while, you know. And since my district has come up with a new job, the building substitute, whoever that is in these individual schools are taking on all the work that these sick or just absent teachers, you know. So I'm having to sub for 5 different teachers in my school, and so I'm knowing that when you get that much volume, something is going on. Also, at my school, there is no more SPED. They took all the special needs kids from getting each other sick, and so they sent all the special needs kids home. You can't, you know, the whole class, and that's. There were special needs children at every tier, every grade tier. But because they do so much together, like eat lunch together and they on the playground together, and they don't respect each other's body, you know, it's hard to tell a non-exceptional child to stop touching another non-exceptional child. It's dead in the water trying to get exceptional children not to touch each other. It's just how they learn. It's how they think. They're tactile people. So, and they touch each other's mouth, and they touch each other's, you know, they don't have a respect for that. And so they've been getting each other sick. And so they sent all of them home. It's become so serious that we've all been told in the building to prepare for going back and go teaching from home again. And so we're all in the process of getting our computers. They want us to make sure that we start an online classroom and to start transitioning our students as much as we can to, even if they in the classroom, to put the work on the computer so that when they do send them home, they won't start acting like, what's this? So we're gearing up. We're gearing up to go back on lockdown here in Kansas City. And that's because
like they did last year.
That's right, because our superintendent don't care enough about no numbers. He only really care about the lives of the kids first and whatever academic achievement they could, you know, do second. But he ain't about the numbers to where he, you know, he's okay with infecting children in a classroom.
Rodney, what you all got going on out there in Vegas, man? With the teachers walking out and doctors walking out.
Well, it's actually all tied in together, brothers. So that's this kind of we got an interesting phenomenon going out here. Our infection rate was up to 18%. We have since declined to 11%. But of course, what the CDC says is somewhat acceptable is when you get down to, you know, under 5%. So obviously at 18, we were, you know, in the hot zone. As a matter of fact, on the West Coast, we had one of the highest infection rates with this Delta variant. And, you know, we kind of talked about this in previous shows, and I even predicted that we would go back into some form of shutdown because that's what happened in history with the Spanish flu that really should have been called the Kansas flu because that's where many historians and scientists think that the flu actually got its start here in America. So we called it the Spanish flu to put the blame on somebody else, like we called this the, you know, China flu, or at least X45 tried to call it that. So, but our numbers have come down. So we're at about 11% infection rate. But of course, we have this Labor Day. I always call it my weekend. Right, my holiday weekend here. And we also know from past history as well as recent history that when you have large gatherings, there are huge spikes in infection rates. And so I wouldn't see it any differently with this Labor Day holiday. As a matter of fact, I'm even going out tonight to something that I promised I would help with, and which I did. And the organizer wants to recognize me. And I really would I want to be there for him, but at the same time, for my health as well as my family, I want to stay home. And I struggled with the thought of going. But I had made this my official no more going out after September 4th, probably until the summer of 2022. Because that's when I think if we start doing the right things, we might be able to come out of hibernation again. But if you go to our last school board meeting, and this is huge. This is actually happening across the country and it's part of a strategy, is there were predominantly white people protesting the mask mandate because our superintendent was asking, it was a special session actually, our superintendent of schools, the fifth largest school district in the nation with roughly 330 40,000 children, is asking for the board, for the authority to issue mandatory masking and mandatory vaccinations. And their protests. These protests have spun from just it being the schools to people in the medical field. Primarily it was nurses. We also have not only that vaccine mandate, but this movement has spread, believe it or not, to first responders, who said that on September 7th, which is right around the corner, September 7th, they're going to walk out of their jobs protesting the mask mandate. And they're serious. And this is happening not just here in Vegas. This is actually happening all across the country. September 7th, right around the country,
Wait a minute. Explain this.
Are you telling me?
These are people saying they don't want to wear a mask?
Well, it's not only the mask, but yes, masking, it's the mandate and the their anti-vaccines, supposedly on this particular vaccine, but they said that it violates their rights and he doesn't have the authority, that we're Americans, we're free. And see, as I'm hearing this, I'm thinking, now, I put a bunch of children through school in this school district, and I remember before they could walk into the classroom on that first day, they had to produce some shot records showing that they were fully vaccinated. Well, these parents grew up under the same thing as me, because most of them came along after me. And after me, there were even more vaccines that were required. So there's already a requirement for that. And that's what kind of threw me. I was like, but there's already a requirement. Now, but these people are very well organized. And that's something that we have to recognize their level of organization. The school board meeting didn't end until like around midnight. That's how many people that it signed up. I think it started around 5 or 5:30.
Oh, wow.
I think it was around 5. So that's how serious they were. They had T-shirts made up. But something else that they did, they used the platform of their 2 minutes to recruit more members to their organization and to announce the walkout. So they used a public platform to announce their, I guess you could say, public protest of disobedience. So I thought that was a masterful strategy and PR move to use those platforms at city council meetings as well as county commission meetings, but especially at school board meetings to protest. And if you look at it, it's happened in Tennessee. It's really happened all over the country. They use the same buzzwords, buzz phrases. They use them repeatedly. They get into some shock type of action. One woman walked up to the podium and pulled out her breast and breastfed her child as she was speaking. Now, many people say, well, it's natural. Well, heck, sex is natural too, but I don't want to get into the debate of whether that was the right thing or not. But it's just the tactics that they're using are masterful. They come in early. Imagine black people doing that. But they come in early. They make sure they sit right behind the angle of the camera so that when people are at the podium speaking, in the background, all you see is them. All you see is their shirts, their signs. It's masterful.
And just to be clear, they don't want to wear a mask in the middle of a pandemic. They don't want to be told to protect themselves and others in the middle of a pandemic. And I'm hearing you right?
Correct.
Ah.
But this is why we had the Delta variant and now the Mu variant. You know what I'm saying? The Mu variant is on the uptick now.
Let's not forget that Lambda is still out there.
Right. All because folks want to do what they want to do. No matter the greater good, no matter the American way, no matter what's best for the country, they want to do what they want to do, no matter what. And they don't care whom they hurt in the process. It's obvious. It's obvious, because if they did, they would do it better, and we would have been through the situation that we're in right now. We would truly be on the other side of this joker.
I mean, I'm beginning to, I mean, I know we'll have lower infections, but I don't think there's no true other side. It's just that we just don't die as much. Like, because we never got to the other side of the HIV/AIDS crisis. We just have less death due to medicine.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get to the other side of global viral issues. We just start dying less as we become more aware on tactics that we can use to not get infected. So, I just warn people about the idea that someday it'll be like it evaporated, like steam in the air. This is ongoing. This is kind of like how we, even Ebola. There's people still working with Ebola in West Africa. There are no viral infections that you come 100% on the other side eradicated. Even smallpox, even polio still peeks its head up, and measles every now and again, especially measles. So I just want us to start thinking less about going back to a reality when we didn't have to worry about viruses, and more about our new reality where virus prevention is part of our daily behavior. You know what I'm saying? Virus infection prevention, you know, it's just something we do.
Well,
and it's not, and it's more than just washing your hands. Even though that's a major part of it, it's more than just washing
right.
your hands.
Well, it is, and it's, you know, wearing a mask, being respectful of people's personal space, not being all up in people's face, covering your cough. You know, the things that we, a lot of these things we learned in kindergarten. A lot of these things we learned in kindergarten. Be respectful and mindful of others.
Yeah, stop blowing out the candle
and birthday cake. Right.
Like, I won't eat a cake now if they blew that candle out. Nope. Stop sharing food, period. Like, for real, if it's not like
amen to that one.
Like a Reese's Pieces where you just give them their own cup. But if they trying to take a bite of something you got, the answer is no.
Hey, man, I've been telling sisters that forever. Stay the hell off my plate. Amen to that one.
I ain't got no beef with that whatsoever. No food off of my spoon. I would prefer you not take a spoon you ate out of and stick it in my food to taste it. No. Like, there's a level of separateness that we're going to have to understand. And we have to get ready to stop touching each other as much. I mean, that's some new stuff, because it used to be love each other, hug each other, show each other, you know, give a pat on the back, give a high five. We done high fiving. We done with that. We done, honestly, with the handshake. Unless you want to be like some people who shake your hand and then put the hand sanitizer on there and wipe it off with a rag. And if I'm going to wipe my hand off with a rag, what message am I sending when I just tried to say that I reached my hand out towards that middle space so I could meet you halfway? That's what the handshake is supposed to be for. We done shaking hands. We done hugging. We done kissing strangers on the cheeks. The French, you know, not the French kiss like the sexual one, but the one where you kiss on each cheek, you know, go side to side, that's done. We done leaning in on each other, too. We done leaning in, okay? We done sharing hygiene items. Everybody need their own comb. Don't you? There's no family comb. There's so much we got to change, Lee, if we really, really want to curb infection, communicative disease.
All right, how about Big Mama taking that finger, licking it, and wiping the coal out your eye?
Yeah,
we got to stop that, too. Oh, Lord.
We done. But that was just, I was done with that because her breath would leave a residual smell right there by my nose all day. And I would have to go and wash that funny spit smell off anyway. But, yeah, we done with that. We done spit shining. We are done with so much behavior that we had adopted to make each other know that we were connected. So now we're going to have to start using our vocabulary better because we can't touch. I mean, we can, but we can't touch without risk, okay? So if you want a risk-free, bond, you're going to have to start using your words because I don't have the money to let all the people I love know through merchandise. I won't be buying your ass nothing. So I'm going to have to get my vocabulary on point. And one of the things I have started doing is if I love you, before I leave your presence, I say, I love you. And they get to look at me like, what's your name? We don't say that often. We just say, bye.
That is extremely important. That is extremely important. You know, I appreciate the fact that I'm so in tune with my brothers that we are able to say that to one another often and frequently. You know what I'm saying? That is extremely important. Like, show a man his worth, and he will forever be yours. And seriously, it really is that simple and that crazy.
I didn't realize how powerful they were, because I never really used to say. I mean, I'm a my love language is I'm right here, and if you ask me for something, I handle that business. But it means something for somebody to look you in your eye and say, you know what? You're important to me. You're a priority in my life. And I love you. You know, I actually love, even your ugly. I can even deal with that. Let's take it.
I can't deal with no hammer time.
You know, those type of things are what we're going to have to replace the hug and the kiss with. The handshake, we're going to have to start finding some other way. And see, black men already had it. The head nod, right? Y'all have mastered the what's up head nod, right? And so black men are able to show respect to other black men, nonverbal, no nothing. You already know you got a black man's respect when he gives you the chin. I call it the chin up, right? Not the chin down.
What's up with sisters?
But sisters, we are still huggers. You know, black women, when we see each other, we love each other, we hug each other. We just give each other a corona. Very few of us, it's like, girl, just give me the air five. The rest of us are just like, I'm going to take this because I need my sister's hug. I need to be able to, I call it the Sealy Netty syndrome. You know, at the end of Color Purple, when she was like, Netty! And the girl was like, Sealy! That right there, we need that. We do that. That's just how we talk to each other. That's how we communicate, like, oh, my God, sister, you still here. I'm so glad to see that you are still alive. Give me some of that physical proximity love. And that's just how we communicate. It's us. We're going to have to change because we feel like when one sister look at another sister and do the chin up, that's not enough affection for us. That's too reserved a response to each other. And it can be misconstrued as a, oh, what's up? You know, as almost as a combative maneuver. It's respect in the man's realm. It's not necessarily always thought of as respect in the woman's realm. We hug. We high-five each other. And when we really like each other, we booty bump each other. You know what I'm saying? Hip bump each other. We give each other more physical encouragement because men really don't touch each other that much. But women do. And so we're going to have to shift. black women and to using our words with each other more, because we do. We'd be like, girl, look at you with your beautiful self. But as we say it, we lean it in to hug each other.
Pop culture is driving this nation once again, and unfortunately, in my opinion, is driving us the wrong damn way. You know, these young folks who are hell-bent on not getting the vaccine because they just don't know what's in it. Like they knew it was in all the other vaccines they got, it's the negative.
That's the first vaccine they say no to. Okay, everybody else says sit down. Pop, 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 get up, bye. This is the first time they ever could say no, Lee.
Oh, man, well, look, I'm sorry, my mind is racing right now. I apologize. I had to work last night, so I've had a very, very long day. I really wanted to come on today to share the news about Rodney's birthday. I wanted to give you all some more insight into the trip and one more announcement. This is major. So we've been discussing in the back room for a while what we want to do with the show, right? So we've been audio for the entire 10 years that we've been doing this. In October, it'll be the 10th year. We're going to go video. We're going to bring it out and bring it up. I've been in talks with BeMoreNews.com, and they want to carry it. So we're going to do that. We're going to partner with them to, as Rodney said to me back in 1997, we're going to come from the East. He's steadfast in the West, and we're going to meet in the middle along with Brother Barry. So we're going to do some video work here in the very near future, very, very near future, especially as things start to settle down for Rashi and myself. We'll be in a much more stable environment, and we can do that. So I was asked today, so, yo, look, can I get it? Can I host it? And I was like, yeah. That's less work for me to fucking do. So, yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that all day long. Plus, we can do some other unique things along the way. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to that chapter. And I hope that you all continue to ride along with us because, you know, you never know what the hell we're going to talk about and how we're going to bring it to you. So that's what's up. You know, again, to the people in the Gulf Coast region, Texas, Florida, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, you know, Arkansas, I hope that you all are faring well after this storm. I hope that you all are able to put things back together as they were, quote unquote, normal before this storm, and press on because life is short. If this pandemic has taught us nothing, life is short. Do not take it for granted. Do not take it for granted. Rodney, is there anything you wanted to add? He may have fallen off. Just Rashi, was there anything you wanted to add that you wanted to get in?
I do want to add. I certainly do. There is one thing I wanted us to know is that when we start talking about transitioning back, it is very important for the person who is working now in person to try and find a way to get their job streamlined so that they don't have to take on the risk of their employment. If you can conceive of a way of getting your job safer, try. If all you're doing is data entry, ask your job for a VPN, that's a verified, secured network that you can work from at home. You know, it's as simple as a work laptop. If you are doing, like, home health care, there's really not much that you can do, but if you can try, if whatever job you have, just short of a cardiac surgeon, if you can get your job streamlined into you not decreasing your risk while you do that job, put that pressure on your employer now to do something about how that you all operate so that you do not have to take on all the risk. Because, see, the higher up you go in the business, the less risk there is. The CEO never comes in, so he's never exposed. But the janitor is always exposed. You understand? So you have to find a way of letting your employer know that you're not dumb to the fact of your risk factors. You understand? That you understand that when I do this and when I do this, this is the highest part. This is the riskiest part of my job when it comes to disease, when it comes to whatever could be hurting you. Do not be afraid to tell your employer that you need them to revamp some of the processes of your work to decrease your risk. Because when you die, this is what the meme says, after they get through killing you off, they have a waiting list of people who have applied for your position.
Your job.
They slide them right on in there before your funeral is over. And under worse conditions than you were able to secure. They go right back.
And less pay.
And it's only the verbal employer, it's only employee, the one who is not afraid to tell them, hey, I have done an assessment of my work for you. And this part right here, it incurs too much risk. I need you to brainstorm with me on what can be done to decrease not just my risk, but the risk of everybody who does this job, whether it's, you know, me or the next person or the next person. So that's until we do it. It's on the employee. You know how they say birth control is a woman's issue? Okay. Safety on the job is the employee's issue, because the employer is all about that almighty dollar, not about ensuring the safety and longevity of their employees. That's on the bottom of their priority list, okay? So if you want to work safe, it's on you, the employee, to get with your, not just, don't even, hey, unless your employer is a one-man show, like you work for one dude, don't even bother with him. Jump him, go corporate. Go as high up in corporate as you feel safe going, because that's going to rain and trickle back down on your employer. And then they'll have to hear you. They have to hear you when you have gone above their head to get things done. Don't wait until you are dead. Don't wait until your coworker has a lifelong illness condition, you know, that they're going to work, they have to now work as a disabled person for the rest of their life because they have dealing with the consequences of the risk that came from y'all's job. Do something now. And now is when you can. There's so many people right now talking about fuck that job, that the person who's willing to come in and do the job actually has some power. Actually has some power because they don't feel like calling that list that I was talking about of people who would replace you. Hey, they want it right. They're not coming back unless it's right. They're not coming back until it gets right. So as a unified worker, workers of the world unite, employees of the world unite, and do whatever you can to put pressure on your employer to make sure that they are doing every conceivable thing necessary to decrease your viral risk, risk to your back. I don't know how many people tearing their backs up on their job because the people won't just buy some little lifter thing, or they won't buy some extended pole thing. It's hard to explain, but a lot of people's backs are being blown out and not in a good way on these jobs.
Hold on. I want to give Rodney an opportunity, Rashi. Rodney, was there anything you wanted to add, bro?
Yeah, actually there is. a lot of people are talking about patriotism with these walkouts, freedom with these not wanting to wear masks and all of that. And at the last school board meeting that we had, they brought more black people with them. There was only like two of them. And I was like, what tree did they find these individuals from, if you know what I mean? And this goes back to what my grandmother used to tell me years ago. She said, you got to know what you know, because if you don't, it's real easy for someone to put in some doubt. And once that doubt is put in about one thing, then doubt becomes about all things. She said, you have to know what you know. You have to learn it. You have to verify the sources. This is my grandmother. Now, my grandmother, I think, only had an eighth grade education because, you know, my grandmother was born in 1912. Her father had been a slave. And this is, as Rashi being an educator, it's such an indictment of our education system that we have people taking horse deworming medication. The hospitals are already clogged up with COVID-19 patients who they call this currently a pandemic of the unvaccinated, refuse to get vaccinated, so they're getting COVID-19. And the hospitals are so full that some states are sending patients to other states, and some, because there's so many states in a region that hospitals are full, they ran out of ambulances because they're starting to stock, you know, treat people in ambulances because the hallways are packed, so that when someone gets in a car accident, they're not even able to go to the hospital. You know, when you're drinking this D, or however you're taking this deworming stuff for cows, horses, and dogs, it's not formulated for humans. States are running out of deworming medication for their own animals. And that's because apparently people don't know. They didn't learn it. It wasn't taught to them as some combination. So I'm reaching out. I'm reaching out to all people, because I heard that.
Hold on. Pause. So you're telling me there's some idiots out here taking some deworming pills in order to prevent themselves from getting COVID?
Yes.
The
feed stores are running out or have run out of horse deworming medicine. I think it's called ivermectin. They're running out of it because these anti-maskers, anti-vax people heard from their YouTube source that it cures COVID. So they're going, buying up all of the horse deworming medication, eating it and injecting it themselves, of course, and either killing themselves or making themselves severely ill. And so the hospitals are already backed up. They got refrigerator morgue trucks outside for all the dead bodies. Our children are dying in schools, and supposedly this is to protect the children. We're setting such a horrible example because apparently they don't know. And so what I'm asking all people to do is, first of all, consult with your medical professional before injecting anything into your body, especially if there's something that you have to, if you have to get your medication from the feed store, let that be the first bell that rings that this might not be the right thing to do, because we are humans after all. We're not horses. They're quite a bit larger. Their physiology is different. So I just wanted to share with everyone, pick up some books, just don't listen to YouTube, and don't take the horse deworming medicine. Don't go to the feed store to get your medication. And they are planning a walkout on September 7th. Be prepared. And, oh, by the way, there's another bulletin that comes out that September 18th, the insurrectionists are going back to the Capitol. Even some elected officials have acknowledged this, some of the pro-45 people. So September 7th is the walkout. Be prepared. September 18th, they're going back to the Capitol. Please, everyone, be prepared. Lee, Sister Rossi, thank you all for recognizing that 60th rotation around the sun. Hopefully I'll be back next year for the 61st, and we'll be out of this so I can actually have my surprise 60th birthday party. Everybody, thank you. Thank you all for listening to Radio Established to Address Life. Real Radio comes on every Saturday morning, 11 a.m. on the East Coast. That would be 8 a.m. for those of us out west. I pray that everyone stay safe. Hug and love on someone today, because there's a lot of folks that are no longer with us this year who were with us last year. Well, in the infamous words of my brother Lee when he signs off, we're signing off today. So, peace!